Amen. Well, good morning. I want to add my welcome to those of you who are new today. My name is Alex. I'm one of the pastors. So welcome, welcome, welcome. If you're new, either in person or online, we're thrilled that you're joining us for the very first time. What we're all about here is really simple. It's just all about connecting people to God, connecting people to each other. So together, we can engage our world for good. We hope you experience a little bit of all those things, whether you're here in person or online. If you are just joining us, this is our final week of a very fun series called Kingdom People. Over the last couple of months, really, as we've ramped up to the election, it's felt like there's only three options. You're either really angry, really anxious, or really hoping it just all goes away, kind of just hope it goes away. That was sort of the case before the election, and then sort of obviously post the election, there continues to be anger and anxiety and people celebrating and people weeping and gnashing of teeth. And what we've been saying over the last several weeks is this really good news that in every era for the last 2,000 years, people have heard Jesus' invitation to step into this thing called the kingdom of God. And Jesus offers us this better way, the kingdom of God option, where we are shaped into people of faith, hope, love, wisdom, courage, courageous engagement with the challenges of the world and dealing with the problems of the world and dealing with all the politics and the neighbors and all those sort of things, that we become these kinds of people. It's way better than a life of anger or anxiety or just ignoring it all and hoping it all goes away. So we've been unpacking this invitation. What does it mean for us to be kingdom people, people who are living out the good news of Jesus like they've been doing for 2,000 years, all kinds of governments, persecution, setbacks, challenges. Kingdom people have shown up in this way. People of faith, hope, love, wisdom, courage. It's been good for them, a blessing and gift to their neighbors. Now, if you're new and just joining us, really important to make sure we understand that the kingdom of God or the kingdom of heaven isn't heaven when you die. It's actually God's will and God's ways breaking in right here, right now. God's will being done, God's kingdom coming through us and in us to bring this beautiful biblical word, shalom. Shalom is translated peace. It just means fruitfulness, flourishing, like abundance. It's a blessing that Jewish people give to each other. So shalom to you means just may all be well with you. It's to be a person of well-being, of wholeness. Wouldn't it be great to be a person of shalom around your Thanksgiving table this week? That's the invitation as we head into the final week of this Kingdom People series. Now, today what we're talking about to wrap up is we're talking about this whole idea of what does it mean to be kingdom people of purpose? Like, if we're kingdom people, how does that shape us into kind of what we're all about? I've got two kids in college, so of course everyone's asking them, what are you gonna do when you grow up, right? Like, what's your major? What are you gonna do? What are you doing after college? Those sort of things, good questions. And some of you have answered that question differently about every 18 months in your life, haven't you? Some of you are still trying to figure out what you're gonna do when you grow up, even into retirement. But that question of purpose, like if you never quite figure out why you're here, for some of us, that question haunts us, doesn't it? Because it doesn't go away. Maybe some of you are here today because you've been looking for a purpose in all the ways the world tells you to look for purpose: money, accomplishments, lots of friends, get off the grid and be a prepper, whatever that is for some of you. Just having your own space, doing your own thing, no one being the boss of you, right? Like, listen, the world sells you all kinds of purposes, and you kind of a la carte your way through all of them, but here's the thing. Every purpose that the world tries to sell you is temporary and passing, and you were made for eternal things, not passing things. You were made for eternal things. And if you have discontent around temporary and passing things, that's a gift. Because what's true is 2,000 years ago, Jesus launched this kingdom of God revolution. He released this thing that is eternal. He says, here's the thing finally big enough for you to build your life around. Here's the thing that you were made for. And so he invites us to step into the kingdom of God, to be kingdom people, to live out kingdom purposes in faith, hope, love, wisdom, courage, and to be a part of what God's doing in us and through us and all around us in some particular ways. In the passage we're looking at today, we're in Romans chapter 10 today. Steffi read that earlier. And in this passage, Paul maps out a little bit of what it means for us to be kingdom people who participate in God's fantastic purposes. So let's pick back up in verse 9 of Romans chapter 10. Paul writes this. If you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it's with your mouth that you profess your faith and are saved. This past week, I was listening to a podcast. A man was being interviewed. He was in his 70s, and he described his childhood growing up. And his mom was married 7 times, and she was a raging alcoholic. And in between, she had multiple abusive boyfriends along the way. As a teenager, he was exploring all kinds of things, doing all kinds of things. Like every lunch break in high school, he was getting high with his friends. That was like a daily thing for him. And he said he was looking for answers and purpose and meaning, and he had no healthy male role models in his life, and he was just kind of going toward a dead-end life. And he's in the 70s, so he was a teenager in the 70s. And so one day during the lunch break, there was a speaker who came to campus, and he was surrounded by all the Jesus freaks, all the Jesus weirdos. And he didn't want to be associated with them, but he was kind of curious. So he stepped back from the crowd, like several feet, but he could still hear what the speaker was saying. And what the speaker was declaring was this crazy thing that he kind of heard about. His grandma had a picture of Jesus on the wall, but that God put on flesh, laid down his life to forgive us our sins. And then if anyone would pray a prayer where they invited Jesus into their heart, confess their sins, acknowledge that they need for Jesus, and welcome Jesus into their heart and into their life, that God would give that person the purpose that this teenager had been dying for. And what he thought to himself was, it can't be that easy, right? It can't be that easy. He'd been doing all kinds of things, looking for purpose and meaning and significance and guidance in all these different places. It can't be that easy. But he found himself going to the front and being prayed for by this weird Jesus guy. And he said, nothing happened. Like, you know, people around me are crying and they're like having all, you know, tear fest, sloppy, whatever. But nothing happened to him. He had no particularly moving experience. But here's what he found. In the next couple days, he found he didn't want to go get high at lunchtime with his old buddies. That was weird. And he found himself being invited to a Bible study by those Jesus freaks. And he said, yes, he's not sure why. And then he ended up at a church where someone was opening the scriptures and for the first time helped him to understand the truth of God, the wisdom of God, the direction and purpose and significance of God. And over the course of days and weeks, his whole life was totally changed. And it started with something that was actually just that easy. Now, as he progressed, there were a number of challenges, right? There were things he had to leave behind. There were some sacrifices he had to make. And into his adult life, he had a teenage son who died in a tragic car accident, like one of the worst things that a parent can experience, right? So not all like daisies and dandelions and like roses and kittens and bunnies. It was really, really challenging. But who this man is now in his 70s, after decades of walking with Jesus, is a completely different man than what he would have been as a teenager and the trajectory he was on as a teenager. And it started with something just that easy. Paul says, listen, here's how transformation happens. Here's how salvation happens. He says, listen, if you declare with your mouth, Jesus is Lord, believe in your heart, God raised him from the dead, you're gonna be saved. Like, you will be saved, you will be delivered. It really does start just that easy. It's where life happens. Now, the scriptures talk about this whole being saved thing in a couple of different ways. There's things that we're saved from and things that we're saved for. And it's really important that we understand kind of both categories. There's some things that we're saved from, and here's a sampling of those things that the scriptures say that we're saved from. We're saved from sin. We're saved from spiritual death, eternal death. We're saved from fear, delivered from the judgment. We're delivered from the dominion of darkness. We looked at that passage a couple weeks ago. We're delivered from ourselves, because sometimes you and I are our own worst enemies, aren't we? We're delivered from the powers of this world. We're delivered from chaos, that we're not made for chaos and chaotic situations. We're delivered from the chaos of darkness. And we're also delivered from oppressive structure that suffocates some of us, that some of us grew up in religious contexts that were so oppressive, and we're delivered from that as well. And the scriptures say we're no longer orphans. We're no longer separated from God, our good Father. So those are some things that we are saved from. When we believe in our heart that God raised Jesus from the dead and declare with our mouth that Jesus is Lord, those are some things we're saved from. And then there's a sampling of things that we are saved for. The scripture says we're saved for. We're saved for God's love. What a great gift. We're saved to be beloved children. We talked about this last week.
We are saved for worship. We're saved for wonder. We're saved for joy. We're saved for God's peace. We're saved to be fruitful men and women of God and doing good work that God prepared in advance for us to do. We are saved for wisdom and saved into wisdom. We're saved to be instruments of grace and truth. Wherever God might send us, wherever God might put us. Listen, you're saved from a whole host of really hard, horrible things. You're saved for all these beautiful, fruitful, life-giving things. And the question is, how do you move from one column to the other column? How do you move from those things? Well, Paul says it's really simple. Declare Jesus as Lord. Believe in your heart, God raised him from the dead to conquer sin and death.
For you and for the whole world.
That's how salvation happens.
And if you're here this morning, you haven't done this.
If you're here this morning, haven't yet made this decision.
Haven't yet made this jump from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light.
So glad you're here.
This is the day of salvation.
This is why you're here.
It's no accident.
I want to invite you to take this beautiful, marvelous step to be saved out of darkness into light.
Out of death into life.
And it really does start with something that simple.
Yes, I received this marvelous gift. Jesus died on a cross for my sins. God raised him from the dead. Yes, I will declare Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Lord. You're in a place, you're in the house of the Lord where Jesus is Lord. And we're so, so glad that you're here. This is how salvation comes to all of us and to any of us. This is the good news of God. Now, as Paul continues to write here in Romans 10, he deals with an issue he's been dealing with throughout the whole letter of Romans and this tension he's been dealing with throughout the whole letter of Romans. So pick up in Romans 10, verse 12, Paul writes this. He says, "There is no difference between Jew and Gentile, for all have sinned and fall short. Oh, the same Lord is Lord of all and richly blesses all who call on him." Sorry about that. My brother is 16 months younger than me. We have an ongoing joke, not really joke, who's the favorite son? And there is no doubt who the favorite son has been, was, is, and ever shall be. It's me. Thank you very much. How many of you have siblings? You know you're the favorite? I see those hands. How many of you have siblings? And you know with bitterness in your heart the other one was your favorite, was the favorite? How many of you know? Yes, okay. There'll be therapy afterwards for those of you. Prayer ministry for those of you who need healing. The early church had a really big challenge, and that challenge was this. It all started in Jerusalem. It was all Jewish. And then as it went from Jerusalem to the Roman world, there were Jews everywhere that followed Jesus. He was a good Jew. He fulfilled the Jewish scriptures, but it also brought pagans together, people who weren't Jewish. They called them all Gentiles. Everyone that's not a Jew is a Gentile, right? So all these Gentiles and these Jewish people started worshiping together, and they've never worshiped together before. And it's kind of weird. And they kind of don't really like each other. And the Jews, they have a leg up, right? They got the Old Testament. Jesus was a Jew. They have all these promises, all these prophecies, Ten Commandments, Moses. They got all these things. And so the Jews think that they're the favorite kids. Which totally makes sense because that's the that was sort of the background they had. But so Paul was a really good Jew. And he loved the Jewish scriptures. He loved the Old Testament. He loved the Ten Commandments. He loved all that, right? He's a really good Jew. But God sends him to the Gentiles, to the rest of the world. And so he starts all these crazy churches with people worshiping together. We would call it an ethnic problem, a racial problem. But it was both. It was racial, it was ethnic, it was religious. It was all mixed together. And every letter in the New Testament is dealing with what we would call racial and ethnic tensions between these two people groups, trying to bring them together. And so earlier in the book, earlier in the letter, Paul, as he's trying to keep the Jews and Gentiles kind of at the same table, worshiping together, loving each other, about seven chapters earlier, Paul says, you know who's God's favorite children? You know who's God's favorite children? Here's what he says in Romans 3, seven chapters earlier. He says, hey, listen, there's no difference. No difference between Jew and Gentile. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Paul declares, we all have the same need. We all have the same problem. No difference. Doesn't matter what your background is. Doesn't matter where you are. Sin and falling short of God's goodness, God's glory, God's perfection, God's love, that affects every single one of us. So that levels the playing field. We all have the same exact need. And today we might broaden this a little bit. Today we might say this. There's no difference between religious people and not religious people. All sin and fall short of the glory of God. Right, religious people? Listen, some of us religious people, we think we're better.
And if you're doing your religion right, you realize, actually, how much more you need a savior. That's what good religion does, right? Good religion, healthy religion, reminds us how much we need a savior and how good God is to save us. It makes no difference, religious, not religious, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Makes no difference, Buddhists, Muslims, Mormons, Hindus, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Really conservatives, really progressives, really liberals, listen, doesn't matter where you are politically, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. We all have the exact same need. That's how Paul is going to knit together these two people groups. Listen, we're all in the same boat. We're all in the same place. So as Paul is sort of talking about this, he makes this crazy turn. So that was back in Romans 3, seven chapters earlier. So today here in Romans 10, the passage we're looking at, seven chapters later, Paul uses the exact same phrase. There is no difference. He says this, for there's no difference between Jew and Gentile. Why? Because the same Lord is Lord of all and can't wait to richly bless all those who call on him. Isn't that good news? Every single human being is called to bring their sin to God. And God cannot wait to richly bless every single human being. You've never met anyone that God doesn't want to bless. Doesn't matter how annoying they are. Doesn't matter how irreligious they are. Even if they hate God, God cannot wait to richly bless all people, anyone who would call on his name. God wants to release blessing, gift, grace. Let me start with you, my friends. Do you know that the Lord cannot wait to bless you today, even if it's really hard today? Even if your marriage is really hard? Even if your situation with your little kids, teenagers, adult kids, really hard? No matter the medical situation, no matter the financial situation, God cannot wait to pour blessing into and onto you. He blesses us first with forgiveness, right? The forgiveness of our sins. Freedom from guilt, shame. He blesses us with peace. Even in the midst of challenges and difficulties and differences and conflicts, he blesses us with joy that passes understanding. We don't always get the blessing we want. We don't always get exactly the way we want it to, but he comes to us and says, I have blessing for you. Listen, one of the ways he blesses us is each other. I mean, look around. These are some beautiful people around you. There's some good-looking people around you. Some people around you that are really deep, really wise, really prayerful, really thoughtful. And you might not be one of those people. That's fine. God has given you the gift of each other. God can't wait to pour blessings out on you no matter what you're up against today. That is the truth of Scripture, the promise of God. He richly blesses all those who call on his name. Now, what's also true is this. You've never met anyone that God doesn't want to bless. You've never met anyone that God does not want to richly bless if they would just call on his name. So here's what I want you to do right now. I want you to call to mind the person that you could never imagine calling on the name of Jesus. Who's the person furthest away from the Lord? And not with smugness or arrogance, but with a genuinely broken heart. Oh Lord, you so want to bless this person. You so want to bless this person. So here's what I want to invite you to declare this. We're going to pray this out loud together, this little prayer. Just this thing. We're just going to declare that this is true, okay? So you have that person in mind? You have the person in mind? Like, we're just going to say this out loud together. Say it with me. 1, 2, 3. The Lord wants to richly bless. And say their name. Yes. Wouldn't it be great? Wouldn't it be great if the Lord called on that, if that person called on the Lord's name and the Lord just started pouring out blessings, changing their life? Maybe changing your life. Maybe you're the one. Maybe you're the one that can't imagine calling on the name of the Lord. Someone dragged you here today or whatever. We're so glad you're here. The Lord wants to richly bless you. So Paul's been on this journey. Back in Romans 10, where it says, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, to now the Lord richly blesses all those who call on his name. So all have sinned, now the Lord wants to richly bless all kinds of people. So the question of how do we make that journey? How does that move from Romans 3, all have sinned, fall short of the glory of God, that's where we all are, all of us have to deal with that reality, to calling on the name of the Lord, which releases blessings in our lives and in us and through us. Paul says, well, I'm going to reverse engineer this thing. I'm going to reverse engineer this thing. Here's how people who are far from God, who don't believe in God, who don't want anything to do with God, here's how they're going to call on the name of the Lord and have blessing released in their life. But Romans 10, 14, Paul says this. How then can they call on, because that's the goal. The goal is to everyone call on the name of the Lord. How can they call on the one they haven't believed in? If they don't believe in God, they can't call on him. How can they believe in the one they haven't heard about? How can they hear without someone preaching to them or proclaiming to them? And how can anyone preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. So Paul has just said, hey, we want to move from all of sin to the Lord richly blesses all those who call on his name. So then he gives us a flow chart. Here's the flow chart of how people who are far from God are going to come to a place where they're calling on the Lord's name and they're singing the praises and the Lord's blessings are raining down them. Well, here's the thing. The Lord richly blesses all those who call on his name, but how can they call on the one they haven't believed in? If you don't believe in God, you're not going to call on him. If you haven't believed in the goodness of God, if you don't believe that God raised Jesus from the dead, there's no reason for you to be praying to him and calling to his name. How can anyone call on the name of the Lord if they haven't believed that he's the chosen one, the one that God has sent? Well, how can they believe? Next question. How can they believe in the one? They never heard of him. If you never hear about God, never hear about Jesus, never hear about the resurrection, then you can't believe it. Here's the thing. The only reason why any of us are here is because someone told you about Jesus. The only reason why anyone's here, for 2,000 years, someone told someone who told someone who told someone. And some of those people laid their lives down, like literally died as martyrs, believing that this mattered, that this changes everything, that what God has done in Jesus changes everything. And here's the thing. No one walks in the woods or looks at the stars and says, God raised Jesus from the dead. It's not a philosophy. It's an event in history. The only way you learn about an event in history is someone tells you about it. So the event in history has to be talked about, has to be told about, has to be declared, proclaimed. The only way that anyone calls on the name of Jesus and says God raised him from the dead and believed in that good news is if someone tells them that good news. And for 2,000 years, people have heard and told until we're here in Cushy, fall 2024 in North Carolina, singing the praises of the Lord who's richly blessing all of us as we call on his name. How can someone believe in someone they haven't heard about? Well, all right, well, so they have to hear. So how can they hear without someone preaching to them? Now, don't get freaked out by the word preaching. The word means just proclaim, declaring the good news. Someone has to declare it and live it out and articulate it and explain it and unpack it so that people might then hear it, that they might believe it, that they might then call in the name of the Lord who can't wait to pour out blessing on all those who call on his name. But wait, there's one more thing that Paul wants to reverse engineer. He's kind of working this flow chart all the way from the Lord releasing blessing to us here and now. He says this, how could anyone preach or proclaim until or unless they are sent? See, what you see throughout history and what you see today is God sends kingdom people all over the place. Listen, wherever you are, if you're a Jesus person, you're not there on accident. If you're a Jesus person, God has put you in your family. God has put you at your workplace. God's put you in your neighborhood. God has put you in your classes with your teachers. God has put you in the places where you play and volunteer. Wherever you are, God has put you there and put you in those places. And God sends kingdom people, calls on them to go from to next door and to the ends of the earth with the good news, great joy for all people. God raised Jesus from the dead. God sends people all over the place. And then there are points throughout history in the New Testament and beyond where the church says yes and amen. God's people says yes. God has sent you to go and declare the good news. Throughout the New Testament, the churches are regularly sending people. In fact, Paul himself, when he was just a young man, early on, before he started traveling the world, he's at a church in Antioch, and he helped start that church in Antioch, and he's there for a while, and the church in Antioch, they're fasting and praying, God, what do you want us to do next? What do you want us to do next? And back in Acts, this is what happens with Paul, who writes this letter. Paul says, here's what happened to him. They placed their hands on Paul and Barnabas, and they sent them off. See, Paul had been a sent one. They laid on hands and sent him, and now here, he's saying, hey, the church needs to send people. to bless them, to go and declare the good news that people might hear it, might believe it, might call the name of the Lord, that he might release blessings, because God can't wait to release blessings on all those who call on his name. And so, my friends, as we close out this series and close out the stretch, as you head into Thanksgiving week with friends and family, we want to send you into those places where God has put you and where God is leading you to be an instrument of his good news, to live out and proclaim, declare, share your story, to be an instrument of his purposes right in those places. Thanksgiving's this week. We are exactly 4 weeks away from Christmas Eve. This is the most spiritually open time of the year. You're going to be shopping at Target or Walmart, and the loudspeaker is going to be singing out, "Christ the Savior is born," for crying out loud. It's crazy. This is the most spiritually open time of the year. And what we want to do as we close out the Kingdom People series is we want to bless you and send you as a church with our feeble blessing and our feeble prayers, believing that God has put you someplace on purpose for a reason, and that God is sending you places on purpose for a reason, that you might be an instrument, not to just beat everybody over the head, but in faith, hope, love, wisdom, courage, and especially humility. Sing out the good news. I called on the name of the Lord, and he has richly blessed me. I called on the name of the Lord. He has changed my life. To proclaim the good news of what God has done in Jesus. That is the call on Kingdom People. We're going to give you a chance to sort of step into that here in just a minute. But before we get to that, let's get to the wildly important take-homes. First off, if you're here today, you're not a Jesus person, not a person of faith, not a person who's prayed this prayer before, I want to invite you to pray a simple prayer for people who are ready to make a first-time decision to trust in Christ. I believe in my heart God raised Jesus from the dead to conquer sin and death for me forever. I declare with my mouth that Jesus is Lord. I call on his name that he might richly bless me with forgiveness, grace, truth, wisdom, and love in this life and into all eternity. If you're here this morning, you haven't yet made that decision. So glad you're here. Today is your day. This is the day of salvation for you. Are you ready? Are you willing to say yes to Jesus, to be saved from sin, death, darkness, to be brought into his marvelous light? I'll give you a chance to do that here in just a minute. If you're a Kingdom person, if you've already prayed that prayer, if you know that this is how you roll, sort of faith is part of your life, I want to invite you to pray this prayer in faith as well. No matter what's going on, here's this prayer. I call on the name of the Lord, just like Romans 10 invites us to, and trust that he desires to richly bless me with every good gift in Christ Jesus. This morning, some of you, it takes a lot of faith to pray that prayer. Right? For some of you this morning, it's really hard to believe that God wants to richly bless you because you've got all this data, all this experience coming at you telling you something different. And what the scripture invites you to do is to pray boldly the good news that if you call on the name of the Lord, he releases blessing into your life. Again, it doesn't always look the way we want it to. It doesn't solve every problem. It doesn't fix everything. But you know what? Occasionally it does. Every now and then, God does miraculous things. Every now and then, God opens a door where there was no door, makes a way where there was no way. Every now and then, God changes circumstances, changes hearts, opens a new job, releases you from sin, releases you from the cancer. Every now and then, God does it. So don't stop praying, because God richly blesses. Can't wait to bless all those who call on his name. And even if you don't see the miracle, grace, mercy, wisdom, peace, contentment, all available through the mercies and the grace of our Lord Jesus, who cannot wait to richly bless all those who call on his name, no matter what else you got going on right now in your life. Kingdom People, I want to invite you to be praying a contending prayer. I call on the name of the Lord who wants to richly bless, and then who are the people around you that don't know God's blessing, that are far from God? We're going to invite you to sort of respond to that here in just a minute, to invite you to be a person of praying for the people around you, especially those who don't know the Lord, who seem far from the Lord, that just trusting and believing that God wants to richly bless them if they'll just open their heart to him. And then finally, here's a sent one prayer that I want to invite you to pray. This will be on the wildly important take-home sheets on the way out. A sent one prayer is, hey, I am sent to wherever God has put me and will lead me to live as a kingdom person, to pray, proclaim, and invite people to know the Lord who is eager to richly bless
them. This is the prayer that I want to invite you to be praying as you head into this week. Head back to work tomorrow. Head to Thanksgiving with a Thanksgiving family or friends on Thursday. As you head into the next 4 weeks, can you go as a sent one? So as we close up the series, I want to do a couple of things. First, I want to invite us as kingdom people to be praying that prayer of blessing for folks who are far from God, for people that you know that don't know the Lord, that are far from the Lord. Here's on the note, you got a note card on your seat. I want to invite you to pick up that note card right now. And there's a pen in front of you, in the seat pocket in front of you or behind you. Grab a pen. And what I want to invite you to do here in just a minute is to use this note card and say, and just write this down. I call on the name of the Lord who wants to richly bless. And then just write down the people that you know that are far from God. This is an invitation for you if you're a Jesus person, a kingdom person. I'm going to invite you to sort of write this down on that note card here in just a minute. And for some of you, that person is you. For some of you, the person that you're far from, who's far from God, is you. And if you're here today and you're ready to pray the prayer of salvation, if you're ready to sort of offer your life up to the Lord, I'm going to invite you to write your own name right there in that blank. Now, what we're going to do with these note cards is this. Up front here are two buckets here. And what we're going to invite you to do is, as an act of worship, I'm going to invite you to write down this little prompt, write down this person's name, and then I'm going to invite you as an act of worship and prayer to come up front and just drop them in these two buckets right up here as an act of worship and an act of prayer. Like, hey, I'm just praying over these things. And what I will do this week is I will pray with you. I'll pray with you that the Lord takes these people, moves in their hearts, opens them up to God's great grace. Now, Paul talks about being sent ones. So as you drop off your note cards, the prayer team is going to be up front, up here and kind of across the front. And if you would like to be prayed over, a very short prayer, very short, a sentence, two sentences, to be blessed and sent, to be commissioned by Chatham Community Church, to be representing our church, to be blessing you to go, right? Because Paul says, hey, how can you preach, how can you proclaim confidently if you're not sent? So we're going to pray a short blessing and sending prayer over you as you head into Thanksgiving week and the weeks following. If you want that, we invite you to do that, to drop it off. Now, if you are this morning making a decision for the first time to say yes to Jesus, I want to invite you to go to that spot over there. There'll be a prayer team ministers over there, that bucket over there. I invite you to put your own name in that blank, drop it off, and then the prayer team will be glad to pray with you. They'll go back to the prayer room and just pray with you a short prayer where you declare with your mouth, Jesus is Lord, and you affirm that in your heart you believe that God raised him from the dead, and you will be saved. So this morning, if you're ready to make that decision, I invite you to go over to that spade over there by the curtains. The prayer team will be over there. All the rest of us invite you to write down the note cards, drop them up here as an act of worship and prayer. I'll pray over them. And if you would like a sending blessing prayer, the prayer team will be up front to pray over you and with you. Let me pray for us now as we move to our time of response before the Lord. Lord Jesus, thank you for inviting us to be kingdom people. And so, as your people, we are ready to sing, here we are, Lord, send us. Here we are, Lord, send us. Here we are, Lord, send us. Send us to our families and our friends, our neighbors, our coworkers, our classmates, our colleagues. Lord, as we fill out these note cards, would you call to mind the person or the people that you want us to be praying for? And would we be prayerful people? And as we write down these names, would we be praying and trusting and believing, oh, the Lord can't wait to richly bless anyone and everyone who calls on his name. Lord, if we need prayer, if we're open to that, Lord, I pray that our hearts would be open to being sent ones, to living as sent ones, to proclaim, live out, tell the good news of what God has done in our hearts in Jesus, by his blood, by his power. So Lord, give us the courage and strength to get prayer. Lord, for my friends who are here today, who have not yet said yes to you, today is the day of salvation. Would you invite them? Would you call them? Would you tap them on the shoulder and say, come in, come in, come in. It's time to come home, to step into the light, to join in becoming kingdom people. We pray in Jesus' name that you would do good work here. Amen, amen, and amen.